In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, once again we come into your presence, asking for grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. And we pray today about a very fundamental, important virtue, which is hope. We all need hope. We all have problems in our own lives, in those of our immediate and extended families, matters of health, of finances, of strained relationships. We see problems in the world around us, wars, the threat of violence, widespread poverty, the plight of migrants. We look at problems too in the church, divisions over fundamental teachings, the drop in the number of those attending Mass and the sacraments regularly, the drop in vocations. Everywhere, of course, human life has its problems. This is not heaven. Here on earth, we are wayfarers making our way to heaven, but in this world there is suffering. There is going to be suffering. It is part of God's plan for our sanctification. But in the face of these difficulties, what we cannot do is lack hope. We can have one of two possible attitudes. On the one hand, to throw up our hands in despair and think there is no solution. Everything is going badly. Or in the face of what is not going well, in the face of the problems and the sufferings, to have hope, to trust in God, that He is always with us, that He loves us, that He died for us, and He has a place for us in heaven. Lord, help us to have hope, not to despair, not to become discouraged. You are always with us. There is a solution. Hope is traditionally defined as the firm expectation of a difficult good not yet possessed. The firm expectation, not wavering, but rather an expectation full of confidence and trust, of a difficult good, not something that we know is going to happen anyway, and one not yet possessed. If we already have it, we don't hope for it. We hope for something we do not have. And the ultimate object of hope is, of course, heaven, eternal life with God. And so hope can be both a human virtue, the hope of some human good not yet possessed, that we will find a job, that our health may improve, that our football team may win its game, or the theological virtue. And here, the hope is in God, the hope is in heaven. The Catechism teaches us about theological hope. First, in paragraph 1817. Hope is the theological virtue by which we desire the kingdom of heaven and eternal life as our happiness, placing our trust in Christ's promises and relying not on our own strength, but on the help of the grace of the Holy Spirit. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And so it's a theological virtue, and the ultimate object of hope is heaven, eternal life with God, and with it, of course, happiness. And the Catechism goes on to say in the next paragraph, the virtue of hope responds to the aspiration to happiness which God has placed in the heart of every man. It takes up the hopes that inspire men's activities and purifies them so as to order them to the kingdom of heaven. It keeps man from discouragement. It sustains him during times of abandonment. It opens up his heart in expectation of eternal beatitude. Buoyed up by hope, he is preserved from selfishness and led to the happiness that flows from charity. And Lord, when we have hope, we have joy, we have happiness. You are with us. There will be a solution to this problem. And the ultimate solution, as the Catechism says once again, is heaven, the kingdom of heaven. And it helps us to overcome discouragement. It sustains us in times of abandonment. And again, Lord, we ask you, increase our hope, increase our trust in you. You are always with us. And we thank Pope Francis for giving us as the theme of the Jubilee year 2025, the theme of hope. In the world today, hope is so lacking and hope is so important. And we are grateful that the Pope has given us that theme for this Jubilee year. He has given us his bull of indiction for the Holy Year, which is entitled Spes non confundit, hope does not disappoint. And we read in the first paragraph, Spes non confundit, hope does not disappoint. A quote from Romans chapter 5. In the spirit of hope, the Pope continues, the Apostle Paul addressed these words of encouragement to the Christian community of Rome. Hope is also the central message of the coming Jubilee, that in accordance with an ancient tradition, the Pope proclaims every 25 years. Everyone knows what it is to hope, he says. In the heart of each person, hope dwells as the desire and expectation of good things to come, despite our not knowing what the future may bring. Even so, uncertainty about the future may at times give rise to conflicting feelings, ranging from confident trust to apprehensiveness, from serenity to anxiety, from firm conviction to hesitation and doubt. Often we come across people who are discouraged, pessimistic and cynical about the future, as if nothing could possibly bring them happiness. For all of us, may the Jubilee be an opportunity to be renewed in hope. God's Word helps us find reasons for that hope. Taking it as our guide, let us return to the message that the Apostle Paul wished to communicate to the Christians of Rome. And the Pope in that paragraph is speaking about the importance of hope and of the possibility that we might have anxiety, we might have doubt, or we might have firm, confident trust in God, and with it, happiness. And Lord, help us to have that firm, confident trust and the happiness. We do not know what the future will bring, but we trust, Lord, in you. And now we go back with the Pope to that letter of St. Paul to the Romans in the fifth chapter. Since we are justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing in the glory of God. Hope does not disappoint because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. And so, Lord, our hope is based on God's love, and it is the hope of sharing in God's glory, and that, of course, in heaven. And it never disappoints, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. God loves us. He is with us. And so we have trust in him through his love. The Pope comments, "Hope is born of love, and based on the love springing from the pierced heart of Jesus upon the cross." And he quotes now from St. Paul again to the Romans in that same chapter, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life." And what an important truth that is. When we were estranged from God by original sin, and our personal sins on top of that, Christ died on the cross for us. We are now reconciled, and if he died for us when we were his enemies, as St. Paul writes, how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life? And the Pope comments, "That life becomes manifest in our own life of faith, which begins with baptism, develops in openness to God's grace, and is enlivened by a hope constantly renewed and confirmed by the working of the Holy Spirit." And Lord, we have that faith in you, faith that began in baptism in the infused virtue, faith that we now exercise as adults, trusting in you, in our openness to God's grace, which you constantly pour out in our soul, and therefore enlivened by a hope constantly renewed and confirmed by the working of the Holy Spirit. And in the next paragraph, "By his perennial presence in the life of the Pilgrim Church, the Holy Spirit illumines all believers with the light of hope. He keeps that light burning, like an ever-burning lamp, to sustain and invigorate our lives. Christian hope does not deceive or disappoint, because it is grounded in the certainty that nothing and no one may ever separate us from God's love." Lord, constant, trusting hope. It does not deceive or disappoint, because it is grounded on the certainty that nothing can separate us from your love. And the Pope goes on to quote from St. Paul, again to the Romans, but now in the 8th chapter. "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Hardship or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or the sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Beautiful passage. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And he lists so many of these contradictions, these difficulties in life: hardship, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, the sword. No, God's love is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The Pope comments, "Here we see the reason why this hope perseveres in the midst of trials. Founded on faith and nurtured by charity, it enables us to press forward in life. As St. Augustine observes, whatever our state of life, we cannot live without these three dispositions of the soul: namely to believe, to hope, and to love. We cannot live without faith in God, hope in God, and the love that God has for us, and the love that other human beings give to us, and which we give to them. And the Pope goes on in paragraph 4, St. Paul is a realist. He knows that life has its joys and sorrows, that love is tested amid trials, and that hope can falter in the face of suffering. Even so, he can write, "We boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope." And that's once again from the 5th chapter of St. Paul to the Romans. For the Apostle, the Pope says, "Trials and tribulations mark the lives of those who preach the gospel amid incomprehension and persecution." Yes, we will have trials. We will have joys, but also sorrows, that our love will be tested, but that hope cannot falter even in the face of that suffering. God is with us. And we skip forward to paragraph 18. Hope, together with faith and charity, makes up the triptych of the theological virtues that express the heart of the Christian life. In their inseparable unity, hope is the virtue that, so to speak, gives inward direction and purpose to the life of believers. For this reason, the Apostle Paul encourages us to rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, and persevere in prayer. Surely we need to abound in hope so that we may bear credible and attractive witness to the faith and love that dwell in our hearts, that our faith may be joyful and our charity enthusiastic, and that each of us may be able to offer a smile, a small gesture of friendship, a kind look, a ready ear, a good deed, in the knowledge that, in the Spirit of Jesus, these can become, for those who receive them, rich seeds of hope. Yet what is the basis of our hope? To understand this, let us stop and reflect on the reasons for our hope. And Lord, what a beautiful passage, that if we have hope, we communicate hope to others. We are filled with joy. We are filled with kindness and love. And so that smile, that small gesture of friendship, that kind look, that ready ear, ready to listen, to show sympathy, that good deed, all of these become for those who receive them rich seeds of hope for them. They think, here is somebody who has found God, who has found a meaning to life, and he helps me now to find that. And then the Pope continues, "Yet what is the basis of our hope? To understand this, let us stop and reflect on the reasons for our hope. I believe in life everlasting." So our faith professes. Christian hope finds in these words an essential foundation. For hope is that theological virtue by which we desire eternal life as our happiness. A quote from the Catechism that we used at the beginning of our prayer. The Second Vatican Council says of hope that, quote, "When people are deprived of this divine support and lack hope in eternal life, their dignity is deeply impaired, as may so often be seen today. The problems of life and death, of guilt and suffering, remain unsolved, so that people are frequently thrown into despair. the end of that passage. The Pope goes on, "We, however, by virtue of the hope in which we were saved, can view the passage of time with the certainty that the history of humanity and our own individual history are not doomed to a dead end or a dark abyss, but directed to an encounter with the Lord of glory. We are filled with hope because our life is not going to end in a dark abyss, a dead end, but in heaven, in union with God." In this spirit, the Pope continues, "As a result, we live our lives in expectation of his return and in the hope of living forever in him. In this spirit, we make our own the heartfelt prayer of the first Christians with which sacred scripture ends, 'Come, Lord Jesus.' Lord, you are the foundation of our hope. You are the goal of our hope, that we be with you forever in heaven. And so we say, 'Come, Lord Jesus, come into my life now. Fill me with more hope, with more faith, with more love, and more kindness for those around me, so that I can help them too to have more hope.'" The Pope continues in paragraph 20, "The death and resurrection of Jesus is the heart of our faith and the basis of our hope." St. Paul states this succinctly by the use of four verbs. And now a quote from his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15. "I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. And now the Pope repeats those four verbs. Christ died, was buried, was raised, and appeared. For our sake, Jesus experienced the drama of death. The Father's love raised him in the power of the Spirit and made of his humanity the first fruits of our eternal salvation. Christian hope consists precisely in this, that in facing death, which appears to be the end of everything, we have the certainty that thanks to the grace of Christ imparted to us in baptism, life is changed, not ended. Christian hope consists precisely in this, that in facing death, which appears to be the end of everything, we have the certainty that thanks to the grace of Christ imparted to us in baptism, life is changed, not ended forever. Buried with Christ in baptism, we receive in his resurrection the gift of a new life that breaks down the walls of death, making it a passage to eternity." And again, more confirmation of the foundation of our hope, the death and resurrection of Christ. He has gone ahead to prepare us a place in his Father's house, and he will take us with him, that when we die, and we will die, and friends and relatives die, but it's not the end. Life is changed, not ended. Buried with Christ in baptism, we receive in his resurrection the gift of new life that breaks down the walls of death, making it a passage to eternity, a passage to heaven. Lord, what a firm foundation our hope has. And then in paragraph 21, "What then will become of us after death? With Jesus, beyond this threshold, we will find eternal life, consisting in full communion with God as we forever contemplate and share in his infinite love. All that we now experience in hope, we shall then see in reality. We are reminded of the words of St. Augustine, 'When I am one with you in all my being, there will be no more pain and toil. My life shall be true life, a life wholly filled by you. What will characterize this fullness of communion? Being happy. Happiness is our human vocation, a goal to which all aspire. And Lord, we will be with you forever in heaven, and that fills us with joy now and in a greater way in heaven. There our happiness will be complete. But what is happiness? What is the happiness that we await and desire? Not some fleeting pleasure, a momentary satisfaction that once experienced keeps us longing for more in a desperate quest that leaves our hearts unsated and increasingly empty. We aspire to a happiness that is definitively found in the one thing that can bring us fulfillment, which is love. Thus, we will be able to say even now, I am loved, therefore I exist, and I will live forever in the love that does not disappoint, the love from which nothing can ever separate me. Let us listen once more to the words of the Apostle. I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Lord, this is that happiness that awaits us, a happiness that we have even now, and a greater happiness now to the extent that we have faith and hope and love. It is your love that doesn't disappoint. We are in you. You will satisfy that longing for a complete happiness, not a fleeting one consisting in a momentary pleasure. And we finish with another paragraph that goes to Our Lady. Hope finds its supreme witness in the Mother of God. In the Blessed Virgin, we see that hope is not naive optimism, but a gift of grace amid the realities of life. Like every mother, whenever Mary looked at her son, she thought of his future. Surely she kept pondering in her heart the words spoken to her in the temple by the elderly Simeon. This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. And those words would have filled Our Lady with a certain dread. But she trusted in God. She had hope that, yes, our Lord would suffer. She would suffer too. But in the end, there will be that glory of heaven. And the Pope continues, at the foot of the cross, she witnessed the passion and death of Jesus, her innocent son. Overwhelmed with grief, she nonetheless renewed her fiat, her let it be done, never abandoning her hope and trust in God. In this way, Mary cooperated for our sake in the fulfillment of all that her son had foretold in announcing that he would have to undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. In the travail of that sorrow, offered in love, Mary became our mother, the mother of hope. It is not by chance that popular piety continues to invoke the Blessed Virgin as Stella Maris, Star of the Sea, a title that bespeaks the sure hope that amid the tempests of this life, the Mother of God comes to our aid, sustains us, and encourages us to persevere in hope and trust. And so we ask Our Lady, Mary, our Mother, you who are a model of hope in the midst of all the trials of your life. You sustain us by your example. Pray for us now that our hope may be great, that we may have that hope in the midst of our problems, that there is a solution even here on earth, and always the hope of eternal life in heaven. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.